Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to the program, UFO Warning. In this episode, I want to talk about the alien abduction of a college professor. That's correct, the alien abduction of a college professor. I found this article over at UFODigest.com, UFODigest.com. I'll put the link at the Ko-Fi and Locals website. It's written by Chris Hawley, dated June 17th, 2010. It's an excellent, excellent article. Before I get started, I just want to point out, as you probably have heard the last few days, the DOD through AARO has released their report on UFOs. This was supposed to be a report investigating, you know, the major UFO, I think all of the major UFO sightings, at least, that they've had since 1946. Of course, it's not. It's just... from what I can tell, a lot of propaganda and a lot of lies. They've come out and said that the UFO phenomena is not extraterrestrial, interdimensional, anything like that. It's just basically space trash and people that are confused. This is what we're getting for disclosure. And I noticed today as I was doing some research for the program, the Google searches and the other search engines, of course, they all pretty much come from Google, were just page after page after page of the mainline media telling us that the DOD has determined that UFOs aren't real. The DOD, the people that can't account for $1.55 trillion of your tax dollars. And so it was just flooded. It was so hard to find anything fun or interesting about UFOs. And then another really strange thing happened. I noticed when I would tweak the search queries a little bit, I would start getting lots, pages and pages of results in foreign languages. Looked like everything from some sort of, I don't know if it was Vietnamese or Cambodian or Chinese, to German, Portuguese, whatever, all different types of foreign languages. I don't speak any of those languages, so I don't know why Google could think I could read them. So what I'm seeing here, and it does seem like we're getting close to something, is that the deep state is going all in on narrative control. They've got the lie. It's a lie full of holes. We go over them all the time here. Everything from Roswell, you know, and the balloon lie to whatever the latest sighting is. Lies, lies, and lies. But a certain segment of the population loves to be lied to. And it seems like they're getting things in order for some sort of big reveal where they'll be in control of the truth. They'll have a monopoly on the truth. And people like me and people like you that listen to this program will probably be depersoned and considered social outcast and all the rest. I just want to put that warning out there because that's what I see coming down the pike at some point. Things are just too organized the way they're going. These lies are too organized to be random. That's how I see it. But sometimes when you search long enough and you get the exact right perfect search query in, Google or DuckDuckGo or StartPage or whoever these guys are getting their stuff from, they will pop up with a surprisingly excellent source. And that's what we have here today. I just think it's awesome. And if you guys like this article, there's links to other articles this person's written, and we'll cover more of their topics on the show if you like. Just leave me your thoughts in the comment section over Spotify. Now, the title says, Abductee, the College Professor, written by Chris Hawley, published June 17, 2010, it says. Starts off and says, my recent interviews with a group of real-time abductees has been incredible. I have been talking with the abductee group of four and have decided to write about each abductee separately before writing about what they had to say as a group. The group of people I refer to as real-time abductees are people who were going along their normal day, fully awake and aware of their surrounding when they were overtaken against their will. The people in this group all remember the start of their abductions and being returned. They all have little or no recall of the lost time they were taken. They do have flashes of recall concerning what took place during the encounters. So these guys are just going along, doing their normal thing. They get snatched up. They end up on a ship somewhere or wherever they're at. They're having these procedures done to them. Not pleasant. And most of them, while they can't remember the whole thing, occasionally do have flashes of what happened while they were being kidnapped. The group of real-time abductees I was able to join together consisted of three women and one man. I recently wrote an article about the man's experiences. I will be writing about one of the three women today. While living on the East Coast of the United States, the woman I will be writing about in this article had her first lost time experience as a young professor at a local New England college. It took place in the late 1970s when she was teaching a night course. She lived about 10 minutes from the campus where she taught. She followed the same schedule each week. She finished her night class at the same time. She was newly married and made it a habit to quickly leave once the class ended so she could make it home quickly to have some time with her new husband before the day ended. It was her routine to leave the campus, making it home between 8:45 and 9 p.m. after her night class. She did not stop along the way home and always took the exact same route. The night of her first lost time abduction, she finished her class on time and walked to her car like she did every other night. She remembers walking to her car with another professor. All at this point was completely normal. She started her car and headed toward the parkway she traveled to drive home. She remembers the highway having the usual light traffic. Nothing seemed unusual up to that point. That is all she remembers. Her young husband, however, was at home waiting for her to return. Her usual time had come and gone, and she did not return home. Once she was an hour late, he called the school. They told him she left on time. He waited another half an hour and called the police to see if there had been any accidents. None were reported. Once she was 2 hours late, he started to call family members and friends. He called his brother and asked him to come over to man the phone so he could follow her normal route in case she was broken down on the road. The woman's husband traced her route but could not find her. He searched the campus as well as every place he could think of that she may have stopped on the way home. Think about this, 1970, no cell phones. If you want to find something out, you got to go there to find it out a lot of times. Now, nearly 3 hours later, the husband decided to return home and to call the police. He decided to call the local hospitals before calling the police to see if she had run off the road or become ill on the way home. As he was on the phone with one of the local hospitals, he heard her pull into the driveway. The young college professor was ill and confused. She was shaking and upset. Her car was burned on the hood, trunk, and roof. The inside of the car had a horrible odor of sulfur, mold, and chemicals. She was bent over in stomach pain and vomiting. She had a fever. It almost sounds like she had some kind of radiation poisoning. And it sounds like this car, maybe when it's lifted up, that's when the hood and the trunk and the roof were all burnt. So this thing came along apparently and took her in the car. Boom, onto the ship or wherever this thing took him to. She remembered driving home on the parkway. The next thing she recalls is waking up in a dark parking lot on the passenger side of her front seat. Her keys were in the ignition. However, the car was cold, dark, and not running. She told her husband she was the only car in the lot of what appeared to be a large factory of some kind. Same kind of thing we see with the cow mutilations. They pick them up, they take them somewhere, they do whatever they do to them, and they bring them back and drop them off. Sometimes in the same place that they picked them up at, sometimes miles away from where they picked them up at. They just really don't care. She was dizzy and had a terrible headache. Her eyes burned and she felt ill all over as if she had the flu. She did not know how she got there. She had no memory of driving to this place. She had no idea what this place was. She did not recall falling asleep or feeling ill when she left the campus. She was frightened and confused. Alone and terrified, she started her car and started to drive looking for a way out of the large empty parking lot. She found an exit and could see lights ahead and drove toward them. She did not recognize her surroundings and still had no idea where she was. She kept driving until she found a large sign of a main expressway she knew ahead. Just imagine being there dropped off in this empty parking lot, not knowing where you're at. Total state of confusion for this recent traumatic event that just happened to her. She followed the signs and entered the ramp to the expressway. She drove for a few miles before finding signs along the expressway that indicated she was far from her home. She stayed on the expressway for 2 hours in the direction of her hometown. Finally, she found her way back to the highway that took her home. It took her nearly 3 hours to get home. When she arrived home, her husband had to help wash the smell off her and get her to bed. She was covered with the same smell from the interior of the car. She had a red rash similar to hives on her back. She was weak, sick to her stomach, and terrified. This thing had really done a number on her. Like I said, it sounds so much like radiation poisoning. She did not know how she was taken to that parking lot and how she was able to cover what would have been a six-hour round-trip car ride in 3 hours. She had no idea what happened. The ordeal left her so frightened, she was not able to stay alone or return to work for about 2 weeks after the incident. So that tells you, if she's 3 hours away when she wakes up, then if it takes her 3 hours to get home, that means it would have taken her 3 hours to get there. So this thing took her somewhere at a high rate of speed. The burns on her car could not be explained. The smell took days of washing to remove from inside the car. The young professor refused to drive alone at night from that point on. Her husband knew something horrible had happened to her, yet could not explain what. He drove her to and from work during her night class and stayed, and still does to this day. Over the years, this abductee and her husband have both experienced lost time events. They were both taken twice while on vacation. The ordeals were so traumatic, it forever ended car trips or visiting locations that are not fully populated. Their shared encounters were very much like that of the first one she had driving home from the college campus. They would be driving to a destination and could remember when they started out and what they were talking about as they were on their way, when without warning, they would find themselves in their car miles away from the destination and places they did not know, feeling ill and disoriented. The time they last recall before the encounters begin and the time they wake up in a strange location usually is about 3 hours of lost time. The distance away from their original starting point also has been further than it would have been possible for them to have driven in the time that was lost. The college professor and her husband decided to end all car trips after their last lost time event, which occurred in 2003. They refused to make it easy for these frightening, disturbing events to take place. This couple is very concerned about their privacy concerning these events. They both hold positions that could be damaged seriously if they were labeled as people believing they were having abduction encounters. The few times this couple tried to discuss their abduction events with family or friends, they were met with rejection, insult, and warnings for them to stop mentioning ridiculous things. Without any support at all, this couple has had to keep this part of their life hidden. That's really the most tragic part of the story, I think, is that even though these guys have been assaulted, and who knows what's happened to them by these really, I think, evil entities, their own family is abandoning them because they're effectively depersonating them because they've been socially conditioned to do that. Both of them fear being known in connection with the lost time events as much as they fear the actual events. Think about that. They're as afraid of being depersoned as they are of being kidnapped by these evil aliens, taken aboard some kind of craft, and had horrific procedures done to them. That's bad, but to them, being social outcasts is worse. That's sad. It is sad that those being taken must live this way without help due to the public and media's reaction and abuse to those suffering the ordeals. We have a great deal to learn on this earth. This woman is the most traumatized of all the abductees I've spoken to concerning her encounters. She is so fearful of what's happened to her and her husband that she becomes extremely upset and emotional when discussing their experiences. She is terrified someone will try to hypnotize her against her will and is determined to never recall any of what happened during her lost time events. Her terror is so overwhelming that she lives in constant fear that she may recall what took place. She is angry at those involved with researching or reporting the paranormal, as the first thing they try to do is expose the privacy of those enduring events, followed by wanting to hypnotize the abductees to fully recall the abduction. Well, personally, I would never out somebody that's had one of these experiences. I think that's terrible. And secondly, it's questionable about how much good getting hypnotized does these people. It could be that it brings up a lot of traumatic memories for them that are better left at the subconscious level. I think there's only so much you can do after something like this happens to you. And she says she feels that the selfish motives of those in the paranormal field is based first on and foremost on personal gain or fame, with the last consideration being discovery or of the truth or what's happening to so many who are taken. She also fears being thrown into one box with those who report false experiences. She knows that they are a main reason she has been laughed at and warned not to discuss her experiences. I don't believe that. I don't think that people who make false claims are the main reason. I think that over a long period of time in modern history is when this has happened, where people are being depersoned and made fun of and ridiculed. And a lot of that can be traced right back to the deep state. And why would they do that? Well, connect the dots. She fights all attempts of recall and quickly shakes off any flash of memory she may have. This woman is absolutely horrified at what happened to her. Her fear is so powerful, she has blocked all recall in order to prevent facing what happened to her during her encounters. She has suffered many odd physical problems over the years. She has had many miscarriages, including unexplainable massive bleeding, as well as finding she has severe damage to her reproductive system. She has also suffered strange weight changes, going from being obese to thin in a short period of time without any changes in her eating habits. She is extremely fearful of talking about her encounters. She fears that being honest will only bring her ridicule and career problems. She also fears that the medical community may turn their backs on her and refuse to help her if she ever mentioned her lost time encounters. Well, they might just say she's mentally ill and that all of her problems are psychosomatic. I could see that. I mean, this is a person that's been completely abandoned by her peers. That's what I see. This woman has closed down completely to who or what has been taking her. The only thing she will say is that they are so horrific, she cannot allow her mind to ever go there. This woman lives in constant fear and does not trust anyone or anything. She believes the government is not a protector of the human race and that they are powerless against those who do take us. Some of us think that they might even be in collusion with them. This woman has been deeply and seriously wounded, both emotionally and physically, by whatever has been taking her over the last 30 years. I can say that her message to humanity is to brace for impact, as she feels we are all in for some very difficult times. This woman has warned me that we should never feel that creatures out there are here for our benefit. She does not feel they are here to take over the world or to do the planet extreme harm. She does believe they are here for self-motivated reasons only. Her feelings are of fear and anger of being taken against her will and used like a lab rat. I have no idea what or who is taking this woman, but will tell you that I know fear and this woman's terror is real. She does not seem to have any sense of communication or mission from her kidnappers. She sadly seems to be only terrified by them. I will talk more about the thoughts of this woman as I write about my time with the abductee group. Meeting this woman has been difficult, as I do not wish to bring her any harm or upset. She does have many opinions on the subject of UFOs and those interfering with the human race without permission. I will be writing more about that after I have completed my articles about each of the four abductees I was lucky enough to group together and spend time talking to. For now, please pay attention to your surroundings and be careful out there. Wow, what a great article. This woman, I feel bad for her. She's been kidnapped by these things repeatedly, her and her husband, both. It almost seems to me like she's maybe both of them are a part of some kind of breeding program. That's what it sounds like. And where they're just taking her repeatedly over and over and over again. Now, I said the last encounter happened 20 years ago. Well, the first encounter happened, say, 50 years ago. 45 years ago, maybe they were just taking her during that period of her life when she was at, you know, her prime capacity to have a baby. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like she's had some really extremely awful experiences with these things, and her friends and family are doing nothing for her as far as being someone to talk to. This reminds me of some of the cases that Daryl Sims has talked about, and I know people get really... There's a lot of people that are open-minded, but there's a certain small segment of people that whenever you talk about maybe some of these aliens, UFOs, whatever, being of a spiritual nature, they just get crazy angry and leave horrible, nasty comments. I can't help them. This sounds like this would be a candidate for one of those cases that Daryl Sims deals with, where they approach these things from a spiritual viewpoint in order to get these people some kind of relief. And I've talked about him on the program before. He's getting pretty old, I think. I don't know if he does a lot of work anymore. But just the idea that I think that each one of these phenomena have to be approached in a custom fit sort of way. And what I'm seeing in this case with this lady right here, where she's being kidnapped against her will, she says so, over the course of 30 years or something, that she needs some sort of peace, some sort of resolution, some sort of relief. And you have to find out how to do that. And if this person, this particular abductee, has come to the conclusion that these things are evil, at least the ones that she's dealing with are evil, then you face evil with good. And a lot of people are going to do that through a spiritual perspective, specifically through a Christian perspective. Daryl Sims goes through this, talking about people sometimes being kidnapped by these things and against their will, and they're in horrible, frightening situations, and they call on the name of Jesus, and this whole thing just resolves. As far as I'm concerned, I don't really care what a person's religious standpoint is, but I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get out of that situation if I would ever be abducted by these evil entities. You know, if it takes a come to Jesus moment, then that's what it takes. But I really, reading this article, I really feel the terror that this woman experienced and the isolation she experienced when she tried to communicate her experiences with somebody. Really frightening stuff. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.